I'm thankful this morning to serve a God who knows our needs and sees them even down to the depths of our hearts that are unspoken and unheard by others and misunderstood maybe. But we have a God in heaven who sees and knows and cares and is able to provide. And I want to just begin with that. Over in Genesis, we have this story in Genesis chapter 22. God called Abraham to, it said God tempted him. He tried him. He put him, one commentator said he put great honor on Abraham by giving him his opportunity of showing showing to all successive ages the nature, the efficacy of an unshaken faith in the power of God. He gave him that honor to try him. It doesn't mean he tempted him to do evil, but he tried Abraham to see what he would do. And we know that at the end of this, God told him, "Now I know." You say, well, God always knows whether we're going to obey or not. But he gives us trials. He sends us tests and trials and to see if we really will obey and serve him. And so he did that for Abraham. He asked Abraham to bring his son. Verse 2, he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He had 3 days to think about it as he went. Was he going to carry it through? He kept on going. First day, second day, third day. Abraham said unto his young men, "You abide here. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." His faith, the New Testament in the book of Hebrews said that his faith took in that he was going to go and physically offer his son a living sacrifice and kill him on the altar, and his faith took in that God would raise them up again and they would come back down together. He intended to go through with what God had told him to do, but he believed that God was going to deliver his son back to him. Then you have Isaac on the other hand. He was not just a little boy, but he was a young man, a grown man, and he was willing to do this also. So partway up there, as he and his father went, he said, "Father, here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood." This is verse 7. "Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Abraham, what did he mean by that? He was trusting in God. Either it was going to be Isaac, or he trusted God to provide something else. He didn't know, but he knew that God would provide himself a lamb. And now we know, looking back all these thousands of years, that he was actually prophesying at that point that God would provide a lamb who would deliver the world from sin, the Lamb of God. He was prophesying of that. And so in his faith, he said that and continued going. And they came to the place, verse 9, which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. It's not saying this, but Isaac allowed himself to be bound. He didn't resist. He had also, I believe, caught hold of his father's faith and believed that God would provide. He laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him, behind him, a ram caught in the bush, in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, or it shall be provided. God sees and knows. Jesus assured us in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you don't have to pray and use repetitious words. He said, you don't have to do that. You don't have to tell God over and over and over. He said, God sees. Let me get that, Matthew 6. When you pray, verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Does this free us then from ever asking? No. He wants us to come before him and ask for the things that we need. But he wants to assure us here, your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. The Father sees. The Father will provide the things that we need. I believe there's a song that we sang here not too long ago, the children and I sang, Will You Look at His Love and Believe? And in the chorus it says, Oh, He will provide your every need if you'll look at His love and believe. Another place here in the sixth chapter, in verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I've been saved since I was about 10 or 11. Saved and living for the Lord. I've never stopped living for the Lord since that time. I have never seen the Lord fail or forsake me in any of my needs. Now that's my personal testimony. But I'm just one among millions of people. Here's a lady right here that has seen the Lord provide over and over and over again. All of you here, if we had a meeting this morning and we said, I want you to tell us every time that God has provided for you when you had a need, there would be a lot of things shared here this morning. But people have all kinds of needs. There are needs, physical needs of the body, of need for help. I was thinking of a time this past week. I was retelling it to the Lord. And this is a good thing to do, to remember what the Lord has done and tell it back to the Lord. And I remember a time that Darren and I went with Dan on a trip. And he went to his job, and we stayed in a cabin at the state park. And Dan was to be gone all day and come back and stay with us at night. And when we went into the state park, we were aware that our cell phones didn't work there. And we went into the cabin, and there was no phone in the cabin. So, you know, fun day. We're going to be here and just do stuff outside. But I felt a little vulnerable because it's just me and my little son. And so after breakfast, he began to get sick. And he was sick all day. And he just kept throwing up and kept throwing up. And there was no way to call for prayer. We were going to have to just tough it out. And so as he as he got sicker and just couldn't seem to keep anything down, we began to call on the Lord. And the Lord inspired me with the story about Abraham's slave, Hagar, who had a child and was out in the desert with him, and he was dying. And the Lord saw her and helped her and provided a fountain of water for her. And she called the name of that place, "Thou God seest me." And the Lord brought that to my mind, how that he could see us and he knew. And we began to pray with faith. And guess what the Lord did? He provided for us. Not in any way. We still didn't have a phone. We still didn't have anyone all day. But the Lord provided healing and help for Darren. And he stopped that nausea and he began to get better. And he got better so that we could take a little walk later and walked out into the park just a little bit. But I'll never forget how that I realized that the place we were in, it was just going to have to be God who helped us. And I didn't know how he was going to help us. I remember another time, and this has just been, several years ago, 2012, I think it was, that I was there at Valerie's and caring for her before her child was born. And I was doing all of her work because she was in the bed and couldn't be up on bed rest. She couldn't be up at that time. And so I was taking care of her. And about the third day into my visit, my back went out. I could not get up. I mean, I would get up and I would holler with pain. So I felt the best just staying down in the bed. So here we were in a mobile home, and she's in one end of the mobile home, and I'm in the other end, and somebody's got to cook for us now. And that went on for a week. And I was just really getting pretty desperate feeling, Lord. I said, "Lord, I can't get up. I can't go anywhere. I don't know what to do. Please have mercy upon me so that I can get up and help Valerie." And after about a week, Valerie's friend from the community, who is Old Order Mennonite, so horse and buggy, she called Valerie and she said, "I've been thinking about you. Can I come and visit?" And Valerie said, "Well, sure." And she said, "Well, I have my sister-in-law with me. Can she come too?" "Well, that's fine." Well, her sister-in-law is the community, the Amish community's chiropractor. And so she brought her sister-in-law. Her sister-in-law came. And Valerie said, "Well, Mom's back here and she can't walk. Maybe you can go see what to do." And so her sister-in-law came back there, and she felt on my back, and she said, "Well, your hip's out of place." So she just did this, and click, there it went, right back into place, and all the pain just left, and I got up, and I was good. It stayed in. I was able to get up and do my work. Now, that that was a place where I didn't know how God was going to provide. I didn't know what to do. Had no idea what to do, but God provided. I thank the Lord for his promises to provide for us. Times when we get into temptation, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, we know that very familiar scripture. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape." Now this King James says the word "make," but another translation, and I don't remember which one it was, it uses the word "provide." At any rate, we know that's what the Lord is saying here. The Lord will provide a way to escape the temptation that you may be able to bear it. It doesn't qualify the temptation here. It doesn't say only in this temptation, but it says there isn't any of them that come upon you but what the Lord will see you through. every one of them, the Lord is going to provide a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And again, if we were to all of us say, well, I want to tell you how God helped me through this temptation. There's been things in that I've read about, people I remember reading about, the man who got saved and he was an alcoholic. He was given a job of sweeping the town sidewalks. And this is in the book, In His Steps, which it may not have been a true story, but I wouldn't be surprised if there have been stories that this was taken of that are true, that this was taken from. But he was going along sweeping the town sidewalks back in the 1800s, and he came upon the saloon. And he was sweeping the sidewalks, and the smell came out as the door opened and shut every time. And pretty soon he was just drawn into that saloon. At that minute, one of his friends, I think the one that had led him to the Lord, came by and swooped him off the sidewalk in his arms, nearly knocking him down. And he started to fight with him because he wanted to go in at that point. He wanted a drink. And the young man took him away from there and began to talk with him and pray with him until he got over his temptation. There's going to be ways that the Lord will deliver us from temptation that are amazing if we want him to. I believe he knew that man's heart. He knew he was so vulnerable to drinking. The Lord will cut off the ways that will cause us to sin. If we come to him and ask him to, he will. He will help us. I think about how that there have been people who had affections in their heart for someone that they should not have. And the Lord did this. In answer to prayer, the Lord took that affection away because they prayed and asked him to do that. I know that's true, and I know that's happened to people that I am acquainted with. The Lord is able, it says. He is able. He's faithful. He won't suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to, or provide a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What's another scripture that we lean on? Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There was a man who was a missionary to China. His name was Hudson Taylor. I was reading this about him. And he had been there, and one of his fellow workers got sick with the smallpox and was dying. And we know that smallpox was a virus like this COVID-19 virus. Smallpox was sweeping the country there. And he cared for his fellow co-worker until he died. The Lord didn't answer his prayer to save this co-worker's life. He died. Hudson Taylor was right there with him. It was just not too long before he was to be married. So he was just a young man. And so they took care of the dead man, and Hudson Taylor only had the clothes that he had on, and no one could come around him, and he didn't want to wear these clothes that were contaminated. And so he went to his knees in prayer. He didn't know what he was going to do because he had no other clothes. And that very day a box came in the mail, and it had been detained and delayed. It had been sent a year and a half before. It had been shipped a year and a half before. It came that day. It was full of clothing for him. He had story after story like that. And so have other saints, in not only in the scriptures, but down through the years, the Lord has provided for his people. There is another scripture in the Psalms. Let me find it here. Psalms 81 and 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What does that mean to us? I was reading about Brother Fred Prutt. This would have been back in the early 1900s. And God had saved him. And he felt God calling him to preach his gospel publicly. So he started going to the schoolhouse where a few people met. And he preached to them. He got up and he preached to them. And God filled him with a message. And they were, the lady at the organ was weeping. And others were crying out to God. This was just a young man. He was ignorant and uneducated as far as how to preach. He didn't know anything. God had just saved him out there in New Mexico. And he just was just trying to do what the Lord said. So he met with these people at the schoolhouse, and God blessed him. And one Sunday, most of the people that came went to another meeting, I think at a Methodist or Presbyterian church or something. Anyway, a lot of them were gone. There were just a few people there. And he went. He didn't feel like going. He didn't have a message. He had sought God, but God didn't give him anything. And he went and he sat down and he said he didn't, later as he wrote this, he said, I didn't know about this scripture, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. But there wasn't anybody else there that was there to preach the gospel. And so he got up and God gave him something when he got up. And he began to preach. He opened his mouth and the Lord filled it. That's how the Lord can provide for us too. When we need it, God can give us what we need. He told his disciples, he said, you're going to be, where was that in maybe Luke? Luke chapter 12, he said in verse 11, when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. He said, Brother Prutt said, I didn't know that scripture and I didn't know the one, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But he said, that's exactly what the Lord did. And the Lord, I was thinking today about the future and asking the Lord, what do you want us to do as your people, Lord? How are we going to take care of ourselves in a time that is uncertain? We are so dependent upon the systems that are in place for our water and our electric to heat our houses and to cook our food with and to refrigerate our food and all of these things, and I've meditated on what are we supposed to do right now. In the Bible, God provided Joseph raised him up to be a salvation and a food provider for the entire known world. And I just know that my God is able to provide for us no matter what happens to us. But I was asking the Lord these things. Lord, what do you want us to do? And so I'm just still looking to the Lord and asking for that. But later on, he began to give me these scriptures and assure me that the Lord has always provided for his people. He has always made a way for his people. And you say, well, I think you need to point out that his people have suffered persecution and died, millions of them. Yes, that's true. And Jesus said in this very same reading, he said, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. He said, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, worthless little birds, so to speak, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. I want to encourage us today to seek God, how to put our trust in Him more solidly, more firmly, more decidedly, determinedly, that we would put our trust in God for everything. Now, while we're able to care for ourselves, while we can go to the store and buy things, while our electric is still running from the electric company to our house, while we still have the ability to get in the car and go somewhere and get what we need. You know, if somehow I didn't have a vehicle or there was no gas anymore to put in it, I probably wouldn't drink another drop of milk unless the Lord brought it to me. Or I'm just saying that as an example. You know, we just are used to, well, we're out of this or that, and we go in and we get it. What if we couldn't? What would we do? We can begin to trust in the Lord now. Lord, I don't have to trust in you and depend on you to get milk. I just go to the store and get it, or whatever it may be. But ultimately, our supply comes from the Lord. Jesus said, after this manner pray ye, and he mentioned the first three things that we should have on our minds: thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. And then he said, give us this day our daily bread. He wants part of our every prayer to be a trust and a dependence upon God to provide. God will provide your every need if you look at his love and believe. So I want to encourage us today to develop a life of trust in God now. While it's a little easier, begin to ask God, Lord, help me to know how to trust in you. Help me to have a faith in you that does not waver. Speak to me by your Spirit. The Lord can, he can help us. He can lead us. He can guide us. He's our shepherd. The shepherd feeds his flock. The Lord will take care of us. These are not empty words, because there's so many examples before us that God will provide for us. He will provide comfort when we need comfort. I really believe that's true. I believe God will come and different ones that I've known that have lost their loved ones and cried to the Lord, the Lord comforted them. People today don't know how to look to God for comfort. They go to everything else for comfort. They go to drugs. They go to alcohol. They go to counselors. But God can comfort. I really believe that. I believe he's done that for others that I know. And he will do that for us. Protection. Can God provide protection? Probably all of us have heard the different stories of how God has sent angels to protect little children who were not aware and not even asking, but God sent his angel and protected them. All of us have heard stories of how God has sent animals to protect his children, dogs, other animals the Lord has sent to help and provide for his children. You think about the different examples in the scriptures when the people needed food and God miraculously provided food. Elijah was there in the time of famine and the Lord sent some birds to bring food to him. The widow was out of money to pay her rent, and God showed her to take the oil that she had on hand and sell it. And then he multiplied it so that she poured out of a vessel and into other vessels over and over and over until she had sold enough oil to pay her rent to the landlord. We know the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. Not just then, but did you know that Elisha had a time where he actually fed a multitude of people out of a very little bit? God's done that for people, there have been situations in history. Don't go ignorant of history, young people, young men here today. Find out all you can about what God has done for people. Read the biographies. Read the stories of great Christians. Don't just go, I don't believe. You've got to examine the evidence and know that God has done this. He has been faithful through the years. If we turn away our heads from the evidence and say it's not true, it's not fair. It's not fair to make a decision without seeing all the evidence. And so today there are things on record where you cannot deny God providing and answering prayer for his people all over the world, not just in the United States, but in Britain, in India, in Africa, in the Soviet Union, years ago when it was a union, in China, in Asia, everywhere in the islands, God has provided water in wells, food when there was no food, eggs when somebody needed eggs. I mean, particular things when God provided it, it was exactly what the person needed. There's so many stories that I've given you a few, but there are so many that the Lord has provided. Let's trust in him today. I believe the Lord wants his people to really develop a trust in him for the days ahead. He wants us to confide in him every need and just look to him as simply as we used to when we... Do you remember a time in life? I do. I remember when we were first married and didn't have too much to deal with. We didn't make very much. And Dan was sick almost just a few years after we got married. He began to be sick a lot. And so there were times and days that we didn't know where things were going to come from. And the Lord, and we would just pray about it. We would just pray about it. And I've told you about the times when we prayed. I had four different needs. I needed a new car seat. We wanted a bike for Joseph. I needed a new cover for his bed. And I needed some bookends for my bookcase, of all things. And Dan was working for a rich woman there in Edmond. He came home one day, and he said, look what I have. And he lifted the little old Schwinn bicycle out of the back of the truck. Perfect condition. And it was just so cute. I'll just never forget. Thing was so cute. And little bike for Joseph. And he said, well, she's got something else here. And he brought me a car seat in. It was in perfect condition. And there was several other things. I think he brought in a little trampoline, a little tiny trampoline the children can use, and a sack of stuff. And in the sack, way at the bottom, were metal bookends. That one was really amazed me. It was like, Lord, I just prayed to you about needing some bookends. You brought me bookends. It was almost funny. And there have been times like this since where I just said, Lord, you have a funny sense of humor because of how you provide these things that's humorous. And also he brought in this beautiful cover. It wasn't something from the dollar store, I'll tell you that. It was thick and heavy, and it had the alphabet in pictures all over it. And you know, Joseph still has that cover. That thing is over 30 years old. It hasn't quit yet. It was such a nice, it was just perfect for a little boy. It wasn't girly at all. It was just a really nice comforter. I'll never forget those days of being in a place where we did think about where the next dollar was coming from. We did constantly look to the Lord, and he would provide over and over again. One time, we needed to go to Louisiana because we felt the Lord told us to go. We always ask the Lord, where do you want us to go for a meeting? Do you want us to go somewhere? And the Lord began to impress that he wanted us to go to the Louisiana meeting. So Dan said, well, I don't know how we're going to get there. We need so-and-so enough dollars to get there. And so we just said, okay, well, if the Lord wants us to go, he'll provide. Well, in a few days, Dan came home and he said, the bank has made a mistake in my account. I've got to go in and talk to him about it. They made a $500 mistake. And he went in, he talked with him, he argued with him. He said, look, this is not in our favor. He said, I didn't put this in here. They said, look, we can't do anything about it. Just be thankful. So he came home and he said, the Lord just gave us $500. I think that was $500. It may have been $600. But anyway, it was around that amount. He said, we can go to Louisiana. So we did. The Lord really blessed. Another time we felt like the Lord wanted us to go to California. And Valerie had been coughing. She was a little baby. She was born early. She was born in August. This was December. In November, she had started coughing and hadn't quit. She coughed for a month. And so we felt like, well, God wants us to go. And if he wants us to go, and if it's his will, then he'll stop her coughing. So we went right up to the time where we needed to leave. The night before we were to leave, she quit coughing. I mean, she coughed and then she never coughed again. That's not how coughs usually do. They usually taper. But not that time. The Lord stopped the cough. And we went and she never started again. We went out there, and my heart sank because it was a rare time that Los Angeles was 30-some degrees out there. It was cold out there. And I was anticipating it was going to be in the 60s maybe or 70s, but it was cold. But the Lord kept that little child from coughing and blessed us, brought us back home safely. There are so many things. I'm sorry to be putting my own stories in here. I probably should have had others that I had read. If you can, get a hold of the books that Sister Charlotte Husky has written, because they're filled with stories like this. And they're not exaggerated. They're stories of how God provided for them while they were on the mission field in Mexico. My parents have stories like this. I'm sure Bev's parents have stories because these were people who put themselves into the Lord's hands to be at his service. And God provides for those who will do that. So be encouraged today. Write your own stories. Trust in the Lord and see what he will do for you. And write it down and share it with us. And be encouraged today that the Lord will provide.